as I said, hearing Keisha was a really great message. And as I was preparing for this message, I always allow God to just allow life situations to dictate what's going to be the message for me. You know, there's typically always some kind of theme going on in my life or some kind of experience that I'm going through that gives me, I guess, a foundation to be able to bring the word on, you know, because I feel that I know that no two lives are alike, but I do recognize that we all do go through a lot of the same similar life situations. And the message today is going to be called Unleash the Flow of Grace, or Unleash the Love of Jesus Christ in Your Life. As I was preparing for this message, and I've had this happen before, where I was just trying to figure out what the message was going to be about. And for the life of me, as a God, like, the message didn't come to me until, or the realization of the message didn't come to me until 8:30 in the morning yesterday. Like, throughout, like, these past few weeks, I was just like, my God, what am I going to talk about? You know, the people got to get fed, so what's happening? And my mindset was, what am I going to do? How am I going to bring the word? And what happened yesterday morning was I heard the Lord speak to me, Galatians chapter 3. And in that verse, or in that chapter, Paul speaks to the Galatians and he says, let me ask you this one question. When you received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was it through your works or was it through the hearing of faith? And it popped in my mind that I was depending on Urban to try to craft the message. I love the wisdom that God has given to us, but sometimes we can take those principles and leave God out of the equation. Or we'll take the gifts that he's given us and leave them out of the equation. And in turn, in doing that thing, we find ourselves being frustrated and mental roadblocks and like a chicken with his head cut off, just not knowing this flow of life, where I'm supposed to be, where I'm supposed to go now, or what I'm supposed to be doing next, because we've neglected the lover of our soul out of our very lives, and we've just taken a hold to, if I put one and one together, it's going to equal two. But principles work together with the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, so when I thought about that, and I realized what I had been doing. Like, it was like the faucet just came on. The simplest analogy that I can give to you guys about how God flows in your life is simply turning on the water, on or off. Either it's on and it's flowing, or you cut it off and it ain't nothing going on. And a lot of times, the flow is off and we're trying to figure out for the life of us what's going on. So, I got this up here. This is a song. It's an old spiritual hymn. I forget the author's name. But the name of the song is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. This, for me, is one of my all-time favorite spiritual hymns. I love singing. I love just beautiful voices. And thank God for that gift of just hearing people go up and down the scale with the runs and doing the vibrato and all that kind of stuff. I love that. And a particular group that sings this song is a group named The Lions. And I grew up as a kid listening to Marvin and Carmen and Michael and Ronald singing this song and just singing all their songs. But this one in particular, it's not only just beautiful because they sing it, but the words are very insightful for me. When I'm in a place of just darkness and I'm just confused, I look at this. I sing this song. Just by a show of hands, how many of us are believers here? Hallelujah. Praise God. And it wasn't like a Census Bureau thing. I'm not going to see who I'm going to get. I asked that question because, once again, by a show of hands, this was a question that was posed in my heart that I wanted to ask you guys. How many of us, as believers in Christ, have had those days or those seasons in our lives where you feel like you're not connected with God? Where you feel like when you're praying, your prayers only go as high as the ceiling? Or, I mean, just really trying to figure out, oh God, you know, where am I in my life? What am I supposed to be doing? And then you feel like there's just no answer. As a teacher, as a pastor, that I'm not, as just a believer in Christ, I want to encourage you guys and let you know that as you've seen the show of hands, we all go through that. And it's the situation that happens in our life from time to time. And really, it's all dependent upon you. I'm going to read just some of these lyrics to this song, and you'll kind of understand why I sing this to remind myself. This, the verses go, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Now, this is my favorite. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I literally just sing that first verse just to remind me, am I dependent on myself or am I looking to Christ the Redeemer, my Savior? It also goes on and says, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The last verse. Are we weak and heavy laden, covered with load and care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You hear the theme here. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take shield and thou wilt find solace there. So in all of those situations, the verses is saying, take it to the Lord in prayer. Or focus your attention on the lover of your soul. Oftentimes, let's go to the next slide, Keisha. Oftentimes we, as I said before, we find ourselves dependent on our own strength and just blockaded. And society will tell you, or religious teaching would tell you, that it's something that that I've done, some kind of sin or some kind of foul activity that I'm indulged in that's keeping me at distance from God. And I used, when I was younger, I used to think, not that I'm old, but in my 20s, I used to think, I had this mindset that when I would indulge in some kind of activity, that the Spirit of the Lord would depart from me. Okay? Like, he didn't want anything to do with me. I'm dirty, and I got to clean myself up. Otherwise, God don't want anything to do with me. And what was even worse than that was this teaching that if you die without repentance about the physical acts of your daily life, then you were going to go to hell, regardless of if you were saved or not. That's a terrible way to think. And for a long time, I thought like that. I would spend my nights and my mornings praying and repenting about things that I thought was, you know, important to release to God. And the truth of the matter is, there's all, God says that all men have sinned and come under the,
Come short.
They fall short of the glory of God. Thank you. My Bible teachers would be disgusting. You're supposed to know that. But there's no way that you can encompass all of the things, the daily activities that you go through in life. Jesus broke it down in Matthew. If you even think about another woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You know, if you think about, or if you call somebody stupid, you've already committed murder in your heart. So even the thoughts have brought you guilty. So if that's ideology that you subscribe to, my recommendation is that you let it go. Because that is a mentality of torment. And it'll bring you to a place of mental instability and just craziness. So when I've heard that, there is some truth to the sin in your life. And it's not this, God, I'm shooting up drugs and dope. Not per se. The sin is the mindset. Every sin, well, sin in itself is any act that's acted outside of the will of God for your life, okay? And it starts before it's an action. It starts in your mind. What I used to think about, I just got my train of thought back. It's not about, I just lost it again. Be patient with me. Laugh at my swear. I'm going to just go to Romans 8. It's going to come to me. Thank you. I appreciate it. So, as I was saying, in our minds, there it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's about, as I said earlier, when we decide to neglect God, that is the sin. That's the perversion. Living life outside of what He's done for you. Not depending on Him. I know that the world says that we have to depend on our own strength, that we got to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and we got to do X, Y, Z in order to get this result. But with the things of God, it's all about depending on Him. Because the scripture says that to God, your righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Mm-hmm. So no matter how much you try to be good and how much you try to please God with your righteous acts, if it's not rooted in the love of Christ, then it avails nothing, meaning that it produces no fruit. It means that if it's not in Christ and it's not Christ-inspired and it's of your own works, it smells filthy to God. Okay? So I'll just give you my kind of personal testimony. since a kid, and when I say this, I don't mean to discriminate against anybody. I'm not talking about color or anything like that, but anybody's particular upbringing or lifestyle. I'm just talking about my life experiences. As a kid, I just knew that I was just different. Meaning, like, we grew up in church, and my parents were deacons in the church, and they were always feeding us the Word of God, and, you know, we was always just singing songs and praise to the Lord. And I didn't really have a relationship with the Lord personally myself. I just knew that I grew up in a church-filled household. So hanging out with friends and, you know, hanging out with cousins and stuff, they would get into stuff that I necessarily just didn't feel comfortable with. And I so desperately wanted to be a part of that group. But I just knew that, I know now, that the Lord just had His hand set on me different. And like I said, not to discriminate against them. Because I think sometimes we get into groups and we peer pressure ourselves and we see who's going to kind of jump out the band to see who's going to be wild and we all just follow the crowd. So I believe that God has His hand on their lives as well. But I was conscious of it. I would have my friends come over, and like I said, I wasn't saved, but I would have these come to Jesus moments, and I would talk to them like, you know, I'm saved now, and I love the Lord, and I would threaten them like, you know, God's going to get you, and He's coming for you, and, you know, I'm going to make sure He gets you. This is weird. This is different, okay? But just thinking about this scripture, Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. I brought this scripture up because we all had our hands up saying that sometimes we feel blocked, or we feel like there's just this gap between us and God. And I'm here to tell you that it's not something that you've done, per se, that has... Well, no, that's not what I meant to say. God has not alienated himself from you. Mm. I've been trying to get that out for like 5 minutes. That's what I was trying to get. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I wanted to tell you, I'm going to say it once again, God has never rejected you. We all say that we're believers here. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. God has, when you accepted him, he embraced you. He loved you before you were even with him. Before you decided to say yes to his love, he loved you and cared for you and wanted to draw you nearer to him. So where in the world could you possibly think now that all of a sudden because I kicked somebody in the shin, now God don't want anything to do with me? The Bible says that who is he who condemns? Or who is it that would bring a charge against God's chosen people? It says that nobody can do it when Christ has already died and is already raised for you. So be encouraged in knowing that as it pertains to you and your relationship with God, and when you feel that way, God ain't the problem. God ain't up there like, man, I hate him so much. I can't wait till I decide to get him. Like, that just doesn't happen. I know that the movies and all that stuff portray God as evil and angry and wanting to punish you. He ain't got to go far to look for some fault in you if that's what he really wanted to do. Okay? So it's not about him, like, distancing himself from you at all. Here's what it is. Let's go to the next scripture. It might be up here. No. I'm going to have to just... Because it's not working for me.
Which one is it?
But God is good anyhow.
Amen.
Galatians 3, 1 and 7. If you have a Bible, just follow with me. It might be up there. Okay, I touched on that one. The problem is the mind. The Bible says that the adversary, the devil, is wandering around, roaring like a lion, seeing who he can shake up. My stomach here real quick. I didn't intend on using any mind. So I'm the devil. And my house is the Holy Spirit. And every day of my life, I am looking, lurking, seeing what Miles is doing so I can try to find fault in Miles. Another name for the devil is the accuser of the brethren, meaning that he's looking to always count you as guilty. Okay, so Miles talks to his mom all crazy, so I'm looking up, oh man, you ain't, you know, just condemning him. And when the scripture says that he's roaring like a lion, the devil is looking to shake up Miles, to get his mind off of the Lord. Because the scripture says in Isaiah, 26, that I will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusted me. That daily exercise, thank you, the daily exercise of a believer, or his fight, his or her fight as a believer, is always to keep their eyes stayed on Christ. Because in him, that's where we find rest. That's where we find peace. That's where we find provision for our lives. And when the devil is shaking you up, a lot of times we get caught up and we're looking at that. And we stay focused on that. Man, I jacked up. What does the scripture say? It says, be led by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, when I think about the word lust, this is funny. But when I think of the word lust, I think of Prince, like doing it, you know, the But lust has always kind of just tied to sexual immorality. That's kind of the first thing that we think about when we think about lust. But the lust, contains a variety of different things. Pride, selfish ambition, making up my own plans of life and deterring whatever God has got for me. You know, I'm going to depend on me and I'm going to go down this path and this is the way I want to go. Not just sexual behaviors, not just drinking or drug addiction. It is something that is doing anything separated from what Christ has ordained for your life, okay? So, when we hear that scripture, be filled with the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, oftentimes, for whatever reason, I believe it's just the enemy, because he's constantly trying to shake us up, trying to keep our focus off of, number one, he said, be filled with the Spirit. Mm. That should be our primary fight, number one. Be filled with the Spirit. The only fight, be filled with the Spirit. Meaning, keep my eyes stayed on Him. As I keep my eyes stayed on Him, I am filled with His peace and fullness of joy and all those things. The faucet is turned on. Mm. But when He's shaking me and I'm caught up distracted by, I got into an argument with a coworker or I don't get along with so-and-so,
right.
Or God, I don't know how I'm going to feed my kids today, or I got too many bills at the end of the month, or I like to say it, too much bills at the end of the money. I like that one. And you're stressing about those things. That is depending on your own strength. And when you depend on your own strength, thinking about those things, that is the lust of the flesh. Let's put aside sexual immorality. The cares of this life. I know I got it up here. Mark 4 talks about the parable of the seed. And one of the things that Jesus says in Mark 4, he says that some seeds were scattered among thorns. And he said, those seeds took root, but because of the cares of this life, the thorns represent the cares of this life, paying my bills, the next job I'm going to get, my husband is not acting, you know, accordingly, or whatever, those cares, and it also says, the allure of wealth, meaning that I got to get this money. I'm going after the bag today, y'all. I'm finna go get this bag today. See y'all on Facebook. On my way, I'm gonna get the money. I'm gonna get the bag using these drugs, terms for 9-5 and stuff. Stop it, man. Stop it. But those things, when I focus my heart, when I focus my heart and my mind on the cares of this life, those kind of things. And I feel like it's up to me to try to fix those things. The flow, the water is cut off. And we're in this blockade. And it's like, Lord, I'm doing all that I know. What is the deal? And God is trying to tell you in Romans 23, Psalms 23. I don't have enough word. I'm just on the fly now. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What is the first thing it says that the Lord does? He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Meaning, He makes me rest. He puts my mind and my heart at rest. We spend all of our days, and it's so unfortunate. Just pray that this message breaks through to our hearts. Because as believers in Christ, we don't suffer the same afflictions like the world does. The Bible says in Romans 12, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, but the scripture says before that, and do not be, I'll just say the whole thing. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That meaning, Lord God, I am surrendering my life to you this day. As the scripture says, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I'm presenting myself to you for you to nourish me. What's going on today? Who do you want me to reach today? How can your light shine upon me so that I can be a blessing to others? Because the scripture says that He will bless you, that you will be a blessing to other people. So, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, meaning that, what's the stock market doing? Now, let me stop before I continue on. That does not say that you do not care about what's going on in life. We know what's going on politically and all those other kind of things, but he's saying don't attack life issues in your own strength. In just that verse alone, do not be conformed to this world, because the world doesn't have Christ the Redeemer. Mm-hmm. They got themselves, mm-hmm. and they got to depend on their own selves. I know a lot of times we look at TV and we see these billionaires and we see these athletes and we see these stars, and it's just like life is so great on the other side of the fence. Mm-hmm. But for those that have been so fortunate enough to get this money and have this fame and all this kind of stuff and don't have Christ, you can look at the stories of people who are committing or attempting to commit suicide and are on drugs and have mental instability and all that. That's because Christ ain't in their life. Mm. They use the gift, but doesn't have the giver of the gift in their life, in their heart. Mm. Like Wendell always says, chase the goose, not the golden egg. Man, I understand that now so much. Because God has given to all of us not just a measure of faith, but all of us have a gift. R. Kelly can sing his butt off. But what he's saying about it's not connected to Christ. This is the Ignition remix? That has nothing to do with the lover of his soul. There's a lot of instability with that. Chris Brown. And I'm not trying to like put them on there like that, but you see what's going on because they have the gift. They have discovered the gift and how to use it and make it work for them in life. And people think that if I can just discover the gift, that's going to be great.
That's good.
But on the other side of that fence, when Christ ain't there, and you're dependent on your own strength, man, there's a lot of stress, a lot of mental breakdown. We've seen it time and time again. Don't be conformed to how the world operates. Mm-hmm. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word, the relationship that I share with him, is the renewing of my mind. Here's what we all recognize: that we have a mind, a soul, and a body, right? Okay, we're a tripart being. Don't just think that it's just your flesh and it's your mind. It's your spirit. And just like the other two have to be nourished, just like the other two have to be exercised, the spirit requires nourishment, and it requires spiritual exercise as well. And I think oftentimes we forget about that. It's kind of like, man, I got the word and I'm kind of reading it for today, but after church is over, I just throw it in the back of the car and I'll see it, on Wednesday or Sunday or whatever. But you're starving that spiritual being inside of you. The spiritual being is the GPS for how to map out your life. Not the mind. Because the mind will flow as like water. However the wind takes it, it's going to go that way. Whatever new wave is on. Exactly. It's just, like you said, impulsive. It just goes whatever way. And that life is tormenting. Because it's like, I'm trying to figure it out. And I just don't have no answer. But the answer is in meditating in this word. Here's what the Lord gave me. It is it's as simple as just meditating in my word. And not just meditating in any old thing, but meditating in the new covenant. Meditating in the realities of Christ. He gave this to me this morning. It says, your spiritual life is a life of discovering the depth of the Lord's love for you through Christ Jesus. If I can, let's turn to Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. I know I got it up there, so. Here's this scripture. Before I go on, we all cool?
Mm-hmm.
Grasping it?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It says, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Question. And for whoever answers it, you'll get a high five, a piece of gum. It says, and now just as you have accepted Christ Jesus. How did you accept Christ Jesus? Who can remember their salvation experience? Just anybody else?
Marie.
What was your experience? What was your experience? As you have accepted Christ Jesus, what was your experience?
It was an ease. It was how?
Just say, how do you receive it? It's almost a trick question.
Confessing and believing. It was a sincere opportunity where it was presented to me. It was different, because I want to say this too. I received Jesus when I was young, but it wasn't until I really got older and understood that I received him. So it was like, I say I received him when I was like 8, but I really received him when I was 21. And at 21, like I said, it was a sincere feeling of knowing like Jesus really died for my sins, that his grace is the thing that has changed me, becoming me, and just made me new. And after that, that's when I really accepted Christ. So it wasn't really a thing that anything that really did. It was just looking at the fact that he didn't
need
me.
Good. Y'all want to?
Yeah, all right, come on. So I think same thing with Anthony. Like, I think I received Christ when I was a kid. Like, I was baptized like 4 times as a kid. I don't know why, but I was. But I didn't really receive and really give my heart to God and really hear what he had to say until my son told me what he had to say. Like, just hearing it from him, and I know that I didn't give that to him. God had to give that to him, and God was giving that to me. Kind of just made me feel like, wow, like, I guess you're hearing what I'm saying. Like, you're real.
when I was younger, around 7, I was introduced to a lady across the street protecting the church, and after church, she would feed me, so that was my buy-in, knowing that God exists. But until I got in my 20s, God began to remove people out of my life that weren't supposed to be there, and then I began to focus my attention on him, and then that's
let's get them all around the park.
Turn it up. Just like air one. There it is.
Alright, so all of you guys had great answers. And you all really said the answer. Because it's really in the scripture. It's kind of a trick question. As you have accepted him, we all came to a place where we just said, yes, I allow you to enter into my life. Mm-hmm. Here is the daily exercise of a believer. You ready for it? The continuation of this verse. And it says, just as you accept Christ, you must continue to follow him. Or, in other words, continue to accept him on a daily basis. That is the work of a believer. When I wake up in the morning, Lord, I present myself to you. I thank you so much for saving my life. Lord, I surrender myself to you. We don't pray in tongues, and we don't pray and we read this word just for anything. These things are act of surrenderance to God. These things are showing him, Lord, I am once again accepting you today. Just as the scripture says, give me this day my daily bread. Lord God, I receive your provision for my life today. And in that act, in that simple act of surrendering to him, he keeps us in perfect peace. He keeps us on solid ground. We have a level head. There's not, even though life is shaky, things may be shaking around you. Things may be happening in your family. But your spirit, your body, your mind is rooted in Christ. And you're confident that no matter whatever the circumstance is in your life, Christ has got my back. Amen. And he has already made a way for me. Just as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he is leading me through my life this very moment. The scripture goes on and says, let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. I got this picture up with this tree. It was just so awesome that I got it. When you think about a tree, because the Bible says, Jesus said that I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, no fruit is produced, or you can do nothing without me. As our daily life, in our daily life, as we're spending time in his word, and we're hearing the word of grace and the word of his love for our lives, and we're just meditating on Christ, that is the roots. You are the root in this sense. And the ground is his word. And you're digging deep into the soil. And as you're digging, the Bible says that a seed is planted and the roots go deep into the ground and it grows and it produces grain and we don't know how it came up. Here's why this is a point important. As we're spending time in that word, as we're spending time in fellowship with the Lord, our roots are getting dug deep into his soil of love and his word and his acceptance and his appreciation for us. And we're being nourished by that and we're being fulfilled with thankfulness. And while we're focused on him, the things that we used to worry about in our life, the things that we're expecting to happen in our lives, whether it be some promotion or building a company for ourselves or getting married and all those kind of things, those things begin to grow out of the branches. And we don't know how it happened because we were so immersed in the soil of his love. This is why we spend time in this word. This is why it says, be renewed by, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is his good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Because when we're spending time in that word, and these things are starting to flow out, and people are seeing it, and it's like, how is this happening? And we're like, it's God. It ain't nothing but him. Because I ain't been doing jack. I've been in his word. I've been immersed in his goodness. I don't know how this happens. When I was about 25, 24, 26, something like that, I used to spend time, I just had this situation in my life. Like I said, I said I was different, but we all kind of shared the same experiences. So back to the story, in my mid-20s, for whatever reason, I was just so consumed with, Lord, who am I going to get married to? I don't know why I was, but I just was. And not to bring glory to myself. But there were a few people in my life at the time that I was kind of like, I'm kind of picking and choosing, trying to figure out, well, you know, this one's got this quality and this. What's that old song? I'm trying girls out. And I wasn't like physically trying them out. And I apologize. It's not a sexist thing. This is just an old song, so blame the dude. But I was just involved with just talking with different people. And my mind was just so focused on who I'm going to marry. To the point where I was just getting anxiety. Yes. I was just stressed about it.
Yep.
And I didn't get married until 28. Interesting story, side story. When I met Rachel, my queen back there, the first time I ever spoke a word to her was at Wendell and Keisha's wedding. We all had grew up in church together since kids, but I never said anything to her. And the first thing I said to her was, we were coming down the aisle and congratulating them, And the first thing when I saw Rachel, and I was in a relationship, and when I saw her, I looked at her and I was like, hey, you know you next, right? And she kind of just, you know, and I went on by my life. I didn't think for the life of me, 5-6 years later, I would be that guy that was marrying my queen. Wow. So it was, you know, God was just amazing. So in all that time, I was stressing about it. It wasn't until I got married about 28. But prior to me getting married at 28, I came into a place of rest. I came under the word of grace. I started listening to Joseph Prince, and I started to hear Andrew Womack, and I started to hear Arthur Mentions. And back to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He making me lie down in green pastures. He put me in that place of rest where I wasn't worried about that particular thing, where I wasn't worried about what was going on in my family. I wasn't worried about bills or anything like that. I was just immersed in the soil of his love. My roots were growing deep down inside. And I got married. Before you knew it, I got married. And I had children. And I don't know how these things happen. Like, it's here. I look up and it's like, man, time really flew. And it's like, it's here. But in all of that time, I bring that up just to say that once I got to a place of rest, I'm not talking about I went to sleep. Let me clarify that. I'm not talking about I lay down on the bed and I caught some Z's. I'm talking about my mind and my heart was trusting in God. When the Bible talks about rest, it's talking about fixating yourself in a place where you're no longer depending on what I can conjure up, but I'm depending on the Lord's provision for my life. Because in that is rest and peace, and I'm joyful, and I'm overjoyed, I'm overflowing with thankfulness. Because the thankfulness part is about, regardless of what's going on in my life, whether good or bad, I'm appreciative of everything. I'm just appreciative of the fellowship that I have with Christ the Redeemer. And out of that, I can't hammer it in enough. Out of that, as I'm immersed in Him, life unflows. So, back to the question. When I was asking about the blockade, and now we understand that God isn't the one that's pushing me away. I believe it's Galatians, that speaks to this. It says that we were alienated from God. Colossians. I believe. Colossians 1. It says that we were alienated from Christ because of our thoughts. Oh, here we go. Thank you. It says, this includes you who were once far away from God. We all agreed that we've had that situation. This is what this is talking about. You were once his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Notice, thoughts and actions. Before the action came, the thought. Meaning that what I'm thinking, how I think God thinks about me is how I will relate to him. So if I think God is like totally against me, I will relate to him in that manner. If I feel like if I have some kind of fear, it's because if I'm constantly bringing condemnation on Kendra, or I'm spewing fear to Al, or I'm talking down to Glenn, that's because I feel that's how God relates to me. I feel that he's doing that to me, so I can't help. The Bible says, out of the heart, or where your heart is, your treasure will be also, but out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Thank you. Whatever's in my heart, that's what's going to go out towards other people. So it says, you were separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions, but now he has reconciled you to him through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. You are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. I'm talking about your spirit, your mind, your soul has now been redeemed by the Lord. When Romans 12 says, be renewed by do not be conformed to this world, the body, the mind has to be nourished constantly and reminding myself that this is the relationship that I share with my Father now. It's not a separation anymore. It's when I think about when I have that blockade, I think about, okay, where am I wrong in my heart or in my mind that I feel like I'm depending on my own self? And here's the key to finding it. It's typically something that you're the most prideful about, or you're holding on to about, or you have some bitterness or envy about, some kind of anger, or you're stressed or worried about. If it's not love, joy, and peace, and kindness, and goodness, and self-control, because that's what the Spirit, when you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, that's the thing that oozes out of your body. When you're flowing in the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, selflessness, self-control. So when you look at your life and you compare the issues that are going on, you go down that list and you're looking at those things, you can say, what am I prideful about? What am I envious about? Or what am I jealous about? Or who am I hating on? Or what am I fearful about? Those things are the things that cut off the flow. And when my mind is set on those things, that is the blockade. It ain't God. It's how my mind, what my mind is fixated on. If that's the treasure of my heart, then that's the fruit that I reap. If stress and worry is what I am fixated on, stress and worry is what I'm going to ooze out. But if I am fixated on being rooted in His love, and I am allowing that word to penetrate my heart, and the roots are being nourished by the soil of His word and His Spirit, then love, joy, and peace, and kindness, all those things are happening, and provision, and wisdom, and fellowship. That love comes back into play. I'm connected to Him, and I'm confident in Him, and knowing that nothing in this world can separate me from Him. That's the bulk of my message. If I haven't made it plain enough, when you're feeling like that, know that it's not God that is separating Himself from you, but it is something in your mind, something in your heart that is separating you from Him. He desires so desperately, more than anything in this life, to be with you. The Bible says in Revelations, behold, I come standing, knocking at the door, wanting you to answer the door. He wants to be invited in. Not one time, but every day of your life. Salvation isn't a thing where I receive them once and, you know, I just go on through life. But it's a continual feeding upon Him all the days of my life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into Him and dine with Him, and He with me. We're talking about that fellowship, the nourishing of your spirit, soul, mind, body. Everything becomes one as I allow Him in on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm cool. I'm done.